Academy Award winner and four-time Tony Award winner Tom Stoppard explores the witty side of espionage in Hapgood, now on the NECO stage at the Williamstown Theater Festival in Williamstown, Massachusetts. It runs through July 21st. Williamstown favorite and two-time Tony Award nominee Kate Burton returns to WTF for her 18th season to take on the tour de force title role. The brilliant but eccentric British intelligence chief working to expose a Soviet double agent while trying to keep her personal life under wraps. Kate Burton was nominated as Best Actress in a Play for her portrayal of the title role in Ibsen's Attic Abler, as well as Best Featured Actress in a Play for The Elephant Man. A dual nomination made her one of only four actors to be Tony nominated for two acting awards in the same year. On television, she's well known as the mother of Dr. Meredith Grey on Grey's Anatomy. She was nominated twice for that role. She now portrays Vice President Sally Langston in the ABC hit show Scandal, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Kate Burton back to the roundtable. I love talking to you.
Thank you so much. I love talking to you.
It's been quite a while. What is it like being back?
It's it's just unbelievable here. I mean, I realize in this schedule, it's an intense schedule here, and especially in the week leading up to the first performances, where we just literally barely have time to eat a sandwich. So that has been a little bit shocking after all these years. I mean, I have been coming here for 33 years. So, you know, when I first came here, of course, I was a little spry girl, and now I'm a middle-aged lady. So it's, energy is different. But I will say there's nothing as exciting as doing a play at Williamstown. I mean, it is to do summer theater in general is just such a pleasure. But to do summer theater here at this particular theater festival is just thrilling. And clearly I enjoy doing it or I wouldn't come back year after year. But it's been 5 years since I was at Williamstown last, and it's been 3 years since I've been in a play. So it's quite a workout, but it's such a wonderful thing to do in conjunction with the stuff I do on TV.
So not only are you doing this, coming back, but you're doing Tom Stoppard, and your role in that is humongous. I mean, it is a monster role.
It is a monster role. It is. It's a part I've always wanted to play since I saw the great Stalker Channing do it at the Mitzi Newhouse Theater at Lincoln Center in New York. I remember it was on at Lincoln Center at the same time, I believe, as Arcadia, which was another play that I've been in, not that production, but one in Los Angeles. And I've always had my eye on this play, and there are very few parts that I really have my eye on. In fact, I really can't think of any others right now. But this was one that I always had my eye on. So when it sort of came around, Jenny and I have been talking about it for 2 years, Jenny Gersten, the artistic director of the Williamstown Theater Festival, and we finally found the brilliant Evan Yiannoulis to direct it. And she has been doing a phenomenal job, and the designers are just extraordinary. And so, you know, and we have this great cast, Jake Weber, Reed Burney, Ewan Morton, and Victor Williams, and then we have a tremendous non-equity group. It's been a true labor of love.
It seems in looking, and I believe we've discussed this before, of your love of Chekhov, and this really isn't that far from that, is it?
That's interesting that you say that. I think the greatest opportunity as an actor that one has is obviously to work in all different kinds of, you know, with all different kinds of playwrights, and I've been blessed to have done Chekhov multiple times, and that will continue, actually, because I'm going to do The Seagull next spring at the Huntington Theater, directed by Nicholas Martin and starring me and my wonderful son, Morgan Ritchie, as Constantine. So, I've always got Chekhov somewhere floating. But this is, I think, different. I think that, you know, playing an English woman is always a very wonderful experience for me. I seem to gravitate towards the English, the Irish, and the Russians. And those are the ones that I seem to really feel at home in. And of course, I have British roots. Both my parents are British. And I think what I love about this play is sort of mining the emotional life of the character, because it's very technical. It's a lot of technical jargon, a lot of science, wonderful science, lots of physics, lots of espionage. And that's sort of what I personally love. But there's also this living, breathing human being, this fabulous woman, single mother, who's dealing with love and loss and, you know, being the only woman in a male-dominated, you know, enterprise. And you know, in 1987, that was a really big deal. And it still is a big deal, but it was really a big deal then. So it is, you know, I always find myself gravitating towards these women who are mavericks. And that's fun. I love that. I mean, I feel in my own home, I'm sort of wife and mom. You know, I have two wonderful children and my wonderful husband. But, you know, when I play these, when I go into the theater, I play these, you know, these fabulous gals who are, you know, telling everybody what to do and everybody's listening to them, unlike in my home where that is not the case.
Well, it is. It's been fascinating watching your recent career of vice president and senator and very strong women characters that are fascinating and get the attention of everyone in that room.
Well, I've it's been sort of funny because in my work, I went through a period of playing a lot of people with some kind of mental issues. I had Alice Gray, and then I did this wonderful miniseries, Empire Falls, where I had all these issues. And then in another movie, this movie that was not very popular called Stay with Ewan McGregor, I played an apparition, which is always interesting. But yeah, so that was humorous. But now it's moved into politics or governmental positions. So in the course of 2 years, I've played Vice President Sally Langston on Scandal, and then I've played Senator Carol Hallows on Veep, which is, you know, I mean, the opportunity for me to get to do comedy and to do it with the genius, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, is just, you know, thrilling. I've always had, you know, sort of a humorous bent, but I've never really had that much opportunity to do comedy. So that was very fun. And then to do Hapgood. So to have all these kind of powerhouse ladies, you know, in suit, love a suit, always love a suit. And, you know, but, you know, it feels like, it feels sort of right that that's where I am right now. And so I've kind of moved into these sort of genre roles, like one little patch and then another little patch. And so that's where I am now, and I'm happy to be here.
Let me ask you about Veep, because that can be an awkward show to watch, and which hilariously awkward to watch. And I'm wondering what it's like when you receive the script for the first time and are working through it.
Well, you know, because I don't normally do network television, I don't get to say four-letter words. So that's fun. And, you know, in that show, we say more four-letter words that you could, you know, shake a stick at. You know, that is a very individual, unique experience, actually, because the way Armando Iannucci works, who made In the Loop, the great movie In the Loop, so funny, and of course is this hysterical political satirist in Britain, you know, normally when you work with these creator-writer folks, you know, they send you the script, you kind of sit there, you rehearse it a few times, and then you shoot it, not with him. With him, you sit with it for many, many days. You rehearse it. You rehearse one scene after the other. It's like, you know, he creates a world, an environment. So by the time you shoot it, you've rehearsed so much, and you're so comfortable in what you're doing that it does feel like breathing. It feels very naturalistic because you can see he's using all these cameras that go up and down and sideways. And so it's for us Americans, we don't get to work like that very often. So it's a really wonderfully interesting way to work. And I think it really comes across. I mean, I've seen a lot of the second season of Veep, which I was not in. But I, you know, it doesn't cease to amaze me, that show, like every single thing it does. You know, and then to be on Scandal, which is also an extraordinary experience. I mean, you know, not only is it a great show, not only is it beautifully written, and I think, you know, the actors are all really tremendous, but it's historical. I mean, Carrie is the first female protagonist who is African-American in 40 years. I mean, it's nuts, but it's true. And so, you know, she's so tremendous. She is a glorious woman, a glorious actress, and sets the tone for the show. Everybody in it is a lot from the theater, and we really work as a team. And Tony Goldwyn, who plays the president, and I met as non-equity actors at the Williamstown Theater Festival. So what can I say? Everything is cyclical.
You mentioned your children. Your son, who you're going to be doing Chekhov with in the spring, has an interest in acting. Your daughter does not. And so for you, of being the daughter of an actor and Richard Burton. Mm-hmm. Do you learn anything from that of what to pass down and how to navigate that as a parent?
Well, I think the thing is, and I think most parents would agree, that, you know, things change so rapidly now, you know. I mean, things are so different for my son than they were for me when I was first coming out of school, than they were for my father when he was first starting out. I mean, we've all had very different kind of trajectories. My dad kind of emerged fully grown out of the head of Zeus at the age of, you know, whatever, 19. And started acting and went to college just for like a short course from the RAF. And then he went back into the RAF, and that was the end of World War II. And then kind of started as an actor. And, you know, it was just sort of deeply magical what happened with him. With me, I went to drama school. I went to college for 4 years. I went to drama school at Yale for 3 years. So I had that MFA, and it was all kind of prescribed. And my son is coming straight out of Brown University, where I also went, and he's, you know, forging into the world. And so it's different now. And also, you know, the way you audition is different now. In the old days, you know, it was you went into a room with a, you know, with pages and you read. Now, of course, you can do everything online. So much is done online. So, like, when you're auditioning for movies and TV shows and stuff like this, I'm going to put myself on tape tomorrow for something, like on somebody's iPhone, you know, and that's how I'm going to audition for a job. And so life is so different. It's so easy to get information now. And so it's a different path. And of course, as a parent, you want it all to work out. But, you know, yes, my child is choosing a career in the arts, which is really scarifying because, you know, it's completely insecure. You have no idea what's happening. You can do great. I mean, I had 1 year where I did 15 episodes of television. It was extraordinary. And then the next year I did three, you know, and there's neither the twain shall meet. There's no reason for it. It's just that's the way it happened.
But you think of the knowledge base that your son has with you, of being able to ask you, being able to ask your husband, Michael Ritchie, who is used to be here at Williamstown. And you had your father, you had Elizabeth Taylor, you had your stuff, your mother.
Right.
I mean, it's fascinating.
Yeah. Well, I think that also, you know, more...
I mean, can you draw from that?
You draw from it, and I think you draw from it, and you don't even realize, like, how powerful it is or how... I mean, Morgan grew up at this theater festival. He was 8 years old the first time he stepped on stage, which was in Dead End. And then he was in The Rivals as a 10-year-old. And then he was in Street Scene as a 15-year-old. And then he returned as a fairy in A Midsummer Night's Dream at the age of 16. You know, and then... You know, so he's been in like, he was in his first professional show when he was 8 years old. I didn't have that experience. So, you know, when you think of the kids who grew up at Williamstown, you know, him, Gwyneth Paltrow, Keira Naughton, Greg Naughton, you know, and who are all professional actors, obviously. Now, you know, that I never had because I didn't have that kind of backstage, you know, living out of a, you know, suitcase kind of thing. Born in a trunk, you know, that old expression. But so he had that experience. My daughter did too, and she loves it, and she loves to be here. I mean, she's 15 and is sort of more interested in other stuff, writing and directing. But she also, unfortunately, is kind of great on stage. We saw her the other day and went, oh, God, no. You know, she too seems to be kind of self-possessed. So, you know, and that's the thing. I think it is by osmosis, a lot of it. I mean, I grew up with my very famous dad, my very famous stepmother, and then my working actor stepfather, Jordan Christopher. So I grew up with him, you know, doing all kinds of things. And then my mom, who kind of flitted in and out of various different jobs. And then when she was 60, founded a theater in Sag Harbor, New York, called the Bay Street Theater. Mm-hmm. And, you know, ran the theater for 22 years. So, you know, she ran the theater up until a year ago, a year before she died. So, you know, it's sort of extraordinary. I think it's just we're all around it all the time. But I will say that we don't behave like a theatrical family, like what one would imagine, you know, a theatrical family is. We don't behave that way. We're kind of quite regular folks.
And you want it that way.
Yes, correct. Yeah, totally.
Well, Hapgood is running through July 21st. You can find out more information by going to wtfestival.org, wtfestival.org. Kate Burton, it's always a delight to speak with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.